Time now, though, to catch up with Nick Harper. He's in New York for us. Good afternoon, Nick.
Hi, good afternoon to you guys.
And you're not actually where you usually are because you're at an event at the moment in Central Park where one of the biggest destructions of illegal ivory is taking place. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Not in the studio today. You may be able to hear a bit of shouting in
the
background.
Yeah, we can.
Those are wildlife conservationists. They're down here today really to try and promote the cause of elephants. They're carrying out a huge crush of illegally seized ivory. So obviously there's no elephants here in New York City, but there's plenty of ivory. In the United States, New York is one of the big hubs for illegal ivory coming into the country, but also then being sold on once it's been transformed. It's transformed into the trinkets and the ornaments that it often becomes. So they've set up, and this is just in front of me, a huge conveyor belt that goes into a crushing machine. And in about 20 minutes' time, they're going to start putting on a ton and a half of ivory onto this conveyor belt. They reckon it'll take well over an hour to get all of these trinkets through the crusher and turn it into dust and basically say to people that ivory should not be sold. It should not be taken from the elephants in the first place, but it certainly shouldn't be sold in the form of ivory ornaments in the way that it is. I've seen things, some of the conservationists down here, and they tell me that elephants are killed at the rate of one every 15 minutes for their ivory. So that works out at about 96 a day. New York already has some very strict laws about that. But they're really trying to get not just more laws put in place by different states in the U.S., but really try and say to the rest of the world as well that ivory trade needs to be scaled back and be fully extinct before the elephants themselves become extinct.
Is this sort of public display of destroying it sort of to show that it should have no value, and by destroying the stockpiles that's going to help make that point?
Well, yeah, that's the point that they are making. They're saying that to make this such a public event, right smack bang in the middle of Central Park, where people can walk by and see what they're doing, it very clearly and very strongly sends that message. They did a similar crush 2 years ago, not quite as much ivory, but that was in the center of Times Square, so perhaps even more public than the location that they've chosen today. But there is a counter-argument that seems to suggest that by crushing ivory, it makes the ivory that remains out there on the market even more valuable, that it almost drives up the price and also sort of redoubles the efforts of poachers, because they think that they'll be able to get even more money for the ivory because the stockpiles effectively have been reduced by crushes like this. But the conservationists say that really, yes, high profile is the way forward. This is why they're here in Central Park.
Now, Nick, we can't do a news update with you without talking Trump. Now, a couple of things. He has, of course, approved a new set of sanctions against Russia, reluctantly. He doesn't really agree with them. But we've got stuff on phone calls that he's apparently been lying about as well.
That's right, yes. In terms of those sanctions, rather grand-sounding name for them, the Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions Act. Included in those are some new sanctions against Russia in response to the alleged interference in the U.S. election back in 2016. Congress voted on this the other week, overwhelmingly approved it. The president, though, wasn't happy with it. He has signed it anyway, but he is calling it deeply flawed and saying that Congress has essentially put him in handcuffs. He's trying to improve relations with Russia. Congress is doing the opposite. The Russians aren't happy either. We've heard from the Prime Minister, Dmitry Medvedev, who is saying that this is a full-scale trade war on Russia because of what the U.S. is doing. Again, really sending these conflicting messages out of the U.S. We've got Congress saying one thing, that the sanctions should be happening. The President saying another thing, that they shouldn't be happening. And yes, this news that there have been these phone calls that took place that Donald Trump said had happened. He said that he was phoned up by the head of the Boy Scouts to be thanked for the speech that he gave at their annual jamboree that caused really some controversy amongst the parents of the teenagers who were there. It was a rally type event that Donald Trump thought he was speaking to, really sending a political message rather than this non-partisan, non-political message which the scouts are trying to promote. He said that he was phoned up and thanked. The scouts are saying that that never happened. And now there is this fallout to try and work out whether there was a phone call or not.
Just never ends, does it? Let's move on to NASA, which is advertising, quite a bizarre new job.
It's a fantastic job, this. Essentially, NASA are looking to someone who can take on the job of defending the Earth from all alien life forms. It sounds like a pretty cool job. The title of it is Planetary Protection Officer, but it isn't quite Men in Black style protection. It's not actually looking for aliens, although the person who's currently doing the job does say that she was given a pair of black sunglasses on her first day of work as a joke. The idea behind this is really to try and keep space clean. NASA wants to make sure that any spacecraft that it sends out into space that then return to Earth don't bring back any alien matter, not just actual aliens themselves, but any sort of life forms from other planets that perhaps just wouldn't be good within inside Earth's atmosphere. But they also, in reverse, want to make sure that the humans here on Earth aren't contaminating other planets. So when they send spacecraft up, they want to make sure that they are nice and clean, and we're not sending any of our diseases up into space. It is a tremendous job. They're saying that it's very important. It has big responsibilities. It has a good salary as well. About $125,000 is the starting salary. But you have to be well qualified. A degree in physics, engineering or maths, and you have to know a lot about, apparently, planetary protection. So this is, I think, going to be a bit of a specialist job, not just for people who want to be involved in alien life forms.
So not just looking good in sunglasses then, Nick.
Exactly.
Finally, you just come up with the best stories for us here, honestly. A group of Alabama prisoners escaping using peanut butter?
Yeah, this is fabulous. This. When you think of prison breaks, you imagine, I don't know, a tunnel dug from the prison outside the perimeter fence, knives or various implements hidden inside cakes. The Birdman of Alcatraz flying out. Yeah, they use peanut butter, a very different approach to get yourself out of prison. The bizarre thing about this is there was a new guard on duty at this prison, and what they did was smeared peanut butter over an exit sign. So they then got the guard to open this door. He thought that he was opening the door to a cell. It was, of course, actually the exit door to the prison, and 12 prisoners rushed out. They have now all been caught, but the media here in the US has been having a field day. Lots of speculation, not just about the brand of peanut butter that was used, but also whether it was the crunchy or smooth variety. It's got to be a first, though, inmates breaking out using peanut butter.
Bad day at the office for that guard, Nick. I mean, you know, that's... Yeah.
You're new in the job and you let 12 people go. That's not great, is it?
It's not good. Yeah, and all they needed was some peanut butter. Yeah, great story. Thank you so much for that, Nick. Good to talk to you this evening. That's Nick Harper, yeah, there in New York.